Welkom to ons program Dit en Dort. Dit is een program waar met verschiedenste mensen gereed wordt om verschiedenste thema's. We hopen dit een interessante program voor jou is en dat het een zeeën kon zijn. Dit en Dort wordt uitgemerkt in Rutgeschacht bij de Brik 105.9 FM uit Elmer, Ontario. Wanneer je iemand kan, wil je geloven een interessante persoon wordt zijn, te met wingen holen hebben, bitte laat ons weten. Check on sein E-Mail to radio@msion.org. Wir wünschen Ihnen einen guten und gesegneten Tag, wo immer Sie nun sind. Nun wieder mit den Wiederholung für von dir. Willkommen alle Zuhörer zu diesem Dit und Dort Programm. Von dir habe ich den zweiten Part von der Wiederholung, wo ich vorweg angefangen habe. Ik hoor je reden met twee personen wat niet plotisch reden kan, maar de wingeholing wat we horen is een zeer wichtig thema wat nodig is voor jeder eine te meer van leren, besonder wegens deze week de National Drowning Prevention Week is, Nationaal Verdrinken Verbieden Week, tot rand van juli den 20. durch bij den 26. Im Studio met me hoor ik Nathan McIntyre en Briar McCaw. Zij schoffen top met deze wichtige arbeid, maar han ook apart ene dingen wo zij mij aan geleerd han. Briar schoft in ganzen met verdrinken zaken wat in irgendeine stede passieren kon, zoals im pool oder schwammlach, meer, licken, riefers en sogar moraich nach im boodwond ben. Warme woete as kon verdrinken passieren. Nathan schoof Meyer direkt met verdrinken Sachen im Lickenbahn en proeft adelje belier wat menschen jahreslang am gewist han, wat in werkelijken nicht de abreiche Information as, te anderen en de reiche Information rüt te geven. Hij schoof am menschen Meyer te leeren even zond wat op Engels Rip Currents genannt as. A plotisch wordt het vlech even zat zanto rietend woeterstruim. Wir haben von viel verschiedene Dinge geredet. So viel, dass ich die Wingeholung kod müssten zwei Teilungen verteilen. Vorweg hielt ihr den ersten Part von uns Wingeholung und von der kommt der zweite. Wenn ihr den ersten würden gleichen zu das erste Mal hören oder dort noch einmal überhören würden wollen, ihr könnt dort an uns Website finden. www.msion.org. De Port van de Wingeholung, wat we deze week van hieren waren, as wo Nathan wieder om zijn arbeid reden deed. Hij reed om een wichtige ding, wat we eenmaal van vergeten doen, oder nicht doen denken, wo gefährlich dort kon zijn. En dort as de soort kleider, wat einer onhaft werden schwam. Verdrinken haft met zoveel meer te doen als bloos groots nicht schwam tjan. Dort haf ik te doen met dingen zoals van een klossen der gegoen is om schwam te leren, en wat een om woete zeggen het kanen dat, en deze kleider wordt een onhaft. Een gezart materiaal oude kleider zijn zeer schwoer van de eerst nood worden. De materiaal trekt al de woete boezig aan zich aan, en dort kon de kleider een evenrit schwore wicht geven. Deze wicht merkt dat nog zo veel schwander om de kroft haan wat hem veel te schwam en dat dat hem veel boezie ingerem woete rieten. En dan, wanneer hij wordt aanvangen woete trubbel te haan, de hoosje en stelle verhältnis woeran verdrinken al passieren dat, wat nog zo veel hoosje en passiert nog zo veel boezie. De rechte zaart schwamkleider haan is niet bloos te doen om wo hem laat. Dort haft ook veel te doen om een sachere te merken den tijd während een schwam deed. Nu dit vroeg ik dan ook bij Nathan en Briar, wat voor aanvlecht dat schwanse mensage weer, wo ze er nog jeng schoffen moeten, zoals de mensage dat verdrinken luid passieren deed. Dat is niet oprechtig, en doet er kon veelmoel en verdrinken passieren, krijg waar mensen, want ze ook geloven dat ze oppassen doen. Information so ist das sind Dinge, die sie sehr schaffen tun, um dort rechte Information rüttikrieren. Von hier teilt Nathan mit, dass die geratste und schwanste Mensage, wo er schaffen tun, um zu tischen, ist dort, wo viele von Hirn in Chan in all jahreslang von gehört haben, wo sie Undertoes nennen tun. Viele glauben, dass dort das schlimmste Ding ist, wo einer nur abpassen muss, während Schwamm. En dat is aber bloos nicht zo. Hij schoft met een persoon top, wat veel nuvarschen gedoen heeft, en würde ook zijn dat bad zo wiet, al de nuvarschen wat ze doen han, bewies dat ander toes en bloos nicht dat wat verdrinken verursacht, zoals vele geleerd han. Undertoes zijn een werkelijken denk, dat passiert, aber die zijn nicht zo'n wat einer durft om beduurd zijn. Dort wat einer wird nu oppassen zijn, zijn de rip currents, oder rietend woeterstrijm. Dit zijn de woeterstrijm wat boven om woeter zijn, wat zo als een riefe is wat boven zich een waag ranen deed en een matzig drehen kon, wieder en wieder van woeter komt waag. Deze rietend woeterstrijm kan een matzig metnemen ohne dat einer dort bemerkte wat passieren deed. Als jen dort avers mal passiert, wo je oder jene kenge am Wutter nangegun san, han vielleicht adel je denge ohne sond den tit je luten, wot je am Wutter spielen. En dan ne staut luter, wann je schritt kommen waren, ne jen staff han gun, wot je du am sond je luten han, fäng je dort gwach, wo je dort dat latzet han je leicht hoden. En dan aber wann je wieder oft kecken de un verläng sond euwa, dann seinen je dort da ne eng of as, wo all jen staff as. Da hoba dort fällt sich so, je wir in Krag durchgekommen, wo je im Wutter nangegun wären. Dinge so ist das passieren, willst der Wutterstreim einem wieder und wieder bringen dat, und dort einer dort sogar fallen kann. Das, wo wegen Rieten Wutterstreim so gefährlich kann sein. Dei Rieten einem mat, und dort einer dort merkt oder sperrt. Und wenn einer erst anfängt, meut zu warnen und Tränen um Sonntag schwamm wollen, wort einer an, wo wit vom Sond euer einer wirkliche Kum ist. Ein rietend Wutterstrom formt in Städten, wo du ein Behindernis ist für Wutter. In Bezu aus ne Grenz, so ist so eine Stadt, wo ne Pier ist oder kommt, wo die Wutter nicht dann wieder ran kann und macht sein Amt wagen in drei im Licht oder mehr nan ran. Eine Wutze kann so ein Bild verstellen aus ein Trachter, ein Funnel ab Englisch. Dort, wo einer ein Trachter zu brocken dat, as tem irgendwort flissendet in ein Büttel oder denk nanjain, so dat nicht ewe schälen dat, ne? So schoft von ungefähr ein rietend Wutterstrom. Der rietend Port von der Strom, as so aus dort schmolztet Port von der Trachter, wo all dort Wutter rauf oder rüt ranen dat. Dit is woeweng besonders bij zo'n konten, wo dat woeter zich topsomlen kon en dan op het mat zijn wee te zieken tem treene liknaan ran, dat hier jeroets dat aasache kon zijn, tem wieder em woeter nangun os bat jeroets eim zine knijen. Eine kon eine mom reicht dat nog sperren, wann eine dune oppossen dat, wo stark de woeter tre rütrieten dat, jeng eim zin bein, während dat tre ene liknaan ranen dat. Dit is de mensage wat Nathan zeer met schoven deed om dat rechte en wichtige informatie ruitere nieuwbeschaft te krijgen. En voor Briar geloof ze dat du weer een twee wichtige dingen wat zij am dacht. Eind is den gedank dat verdrinken niet te aan passieren kon. Zij deelt met dat vele denken zou dat zij sterk schwammen kan oder dat verdrinken niet aan passieren wordt. En zo zij zijn dan ganz anders aan en neem niet de extra stoppen om zichzelf zeker te merken. Aber, so als sie sagt, dort konnte irgendeine passieren. Der stärkste Schwammer, der nie anwohnte, zu dir oder zu mir. Verdrinken konnte irgendeine passieren und deswegen ist es wichtig, dort wir uns Bordeln am Meer von dir zu lernen und den Mensch sein wiederzubringen. Dort andere teuret, was sie von reden wird, als von den verschiedenen Sorten von Verdrinken, was passieren kann. Ein von dir ist ein Fatal Drowning genannt, Todesfall verdrinken. Dit zijn deze art verdrinken wat einer dort meestens van hieren dat, wat einer veel van hieren dat. En de andere zart as een non-fatal drowning genannt, nicht Todesfall verdrinken. Irgend ne tiet wo een persoon met de loft inne inkampt wegen irgend wat flissenet, dat deze goed verschluckt han en meest nicht loft kriegen kan, dort talt ein Nicht-Todesfall verdrinken. Dort passiert so verken Söhne, wat wurden getalt zu sein, aus ein Nicht-Todesfall verdrinken. Nathan deilt hier auch mit, dort hei in ein Dach allein mal 21 Menschen utemlik hod must rydraden, während sy mes verdrunken wären, det wir sin tid os hy en lifeguard wier. 21 Menschen in ein Dach. En hy gleif einjemol bat feier op einmol. Det as ne wiche nummer, en dort fehlt meier van disse verhältnis te studieren en leeren, wils van einer dit bete verstoen kon, dan kon einer vlech bete information topstaan om disse zart verhältnis in fair te bien en de nobeschaft dumat helpen, dort disse nummer ook beschränken kon. Dit zijn alle wiche themas en dinge wat einer am leeren wird zaan, en dan dort belier zijn wieder in ans nobeschaft te verspreiden. Je darf nicht hoch utgeleerd sein oder wieder versonnen, diese Dinge utleeren, eier je ein Unterscheid merken kann. Jeder eine von uns kann ein Unterscheid merken mit dit. Und dann auch nur noch eng von uns Ungeholung, Red Breyer, von wo sie diese Informationen belieren, proben wieder zu andere Organisationen zu geben, so dass sie auch diese Informationen wieder spreiden kann. In Kraxa haben die mal mit MCS gedoen. En nu dat ook MCS einmal dat jaar zelfs een top trafen rijden, waar wie van schwamen zaken het reden doen. Dat is een passende titum hiervan reden, wils, dus een top trafen is ook de nächste week juli de 29. gepland. Haar ik plus weer om Radio De Brik te meer informatie om dit te horen. Nou ja, ik geloof dat is je nieuw plotietje even zaten voor vandaag. Wel wie moel nu dat laatste part van onze unge holong harken. Veel moel dankzij to Nathan en Breyer voor ere tijd hier bij Radio De Brik geven om van dissen wichtige thema te reden. Dankzij voor harken.
Drowning is a very unique problem, really. You know, it's not just the people who understand the currents. It's also psychologists and, like, why do people walk past the signs? Yeah. Or where do we need to put them? Or what do we need to put on them? There's so many different facets, right?
You mentioned drowning is such a complex problem, right? So, for example, in our lakes, yes, we have rip currents and other water currents and things at play. But it's also, have we taken swim lessons? What's the culture around that? Have we grown up in a water safe area that people are preaching these things, right? Like the drowning
appropriate
specific
clothing too sometimes can be really helpful.
Yes,
too,
because I feel especially swimsuits that can be, depending on the culture, for some it's a difficult thing to grasp that swimsuits are important, right?
Yeah.
And to have appropriate swimwear.
At least the material anyway, right? There's certain material.
Like the type
heavy
of material.
Like wool and cotton is very heavy when it absorbs water
and
very,
that pulls
very
you
difficult
down.
To move your limbs.
Yeah.
And swimming is so unique in that you need to be conditioned in order to do it well. We're not creatures of the water. So to swim well, again, your muscles need to be conditioned. So you can tire quickly without all the bulk, without all the heavy clothing.
And,
so when you add that extra weight, it's a tremendous amount of weight that takes something so fast and silent like drowning and accelerates it much faster, much faster. And it's already so fast.
So, yeah. My question then would be to, and either of you could answer it, you mentioned drowning silent. A lot of people have that misconception that it's loud. What are other misconceptions that you guys have encountered that really make it difficult for people to understand the importance of these safety features?
Well, with the Rip Current Information Project, one of my main focuses is the Great Lakes. Breyer and the Elgin County Drowning Prevention Coalition is taking a massive approach to everything drowning related, which is important.
Any type of water.
Absolutely important to have that kind of messaging. My approach to this is Great Lakes specific, which in my opinion, the information that our public has been receiving for years, my entire life, I'm 44 years old, so my entire life, I've been reading and receiving the incorrect information on our Great Lakes. Even today, when we go down to the beach today, it's not the correct information when we walk down to the beach.
So it's still
a struggle. Also different from Port Stanley to Port Bruce to Port Dover to Port Burwell to everywhere we go
is
different information. For instance, one of the misconceptions you were saying is the word undertow.
And undertow. We hear that a lot.
Yeah. And I've, my entire life, I thought that undertow was the concern on the Great Lakes. But in researching it now, and I've been working closely with Chris Hauser, who is the Dean of Science at the University of Waterloo. He's one of the only coastal geomorphologists in Canada.
Okay.
And he has 20 years plus years of really solid research on this. And undertow simply isn't a mechanism of drowning. It doesn't pull people under the water. It doesn't pull people out even, really. What is happening is rip currents are a surface current, so as strong as at the surface of the water, and it's kind of almost picking people up and floating them to deeper water.
Okay.
And once we're in deeper water, we can't touch. And if you can't swim, that's a huge problem.
That's where you get into trouble.
The lake, sorry, isn't pulling us under, or the undertow doesn't pull us under. What's happening is we're just not touching the bottom.
So it's pulling us out further from shore.
Where we get tired. And usually when this is happening, there's lots of waves.
Yeah.
And so the wave period on the Great Lakes is shorter than it is on the oceans. We have consecutive waves crashing much more quickly here on the Great Lakes, which for lifeguards like myself and like Breyer, it's a concern. The waves themselves, people can't get an orientation as easily, and they can't catch their breath.
They're so messy. They're so messy. Like, there's no rhyme or reason that you're getting. It's one.
It's one over the other, and that's exhausting you and making the panic even worse, right? Like, it just, all of it is all together. Just
so an undertow is a real thing. It's just not a real concern is how I like to say that.
That's a good way to put it.
And it's a general return of water. So it's not, again, not something to be concerned about moving us. Whereas these rip currents are very focused, concentrated currents. And so a lot of that water volume that's of water that's on the shoreline moves collectively to one area.
Yeah.
And then it turns into this powerful river of sorts almost that will take everything. People, sand, sediment, rocks even sometimes, tree ranches and things and debris, and it'll just take everything and move it into that area and out into deeper water. And that's how the lake likes to circulate that onshore volume of water from wave action back out.
Because it has to find a way back out, right? So it finds the path of least resistance, as you mentioned before, Breyer.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's one of the things. You know, we see that next to piers and rocks, jetties, any kind of structure that's in the water will move around that structure.
Makes sense.
So we'll always have a more or less a permanent rip current in those areas, depending on which direction the wind is coming from.
So there's so many things that come into play.
Yeah. So when waves are breaking, you know, stay closer to shore, stay where on the sandbars where you're up to your knees or up to your waist. Mm-hmm. As soon as you get into deeper water, when the waves are breaking, you're really at a risk of the lake moving you places
that you didn't intend to go.
Exactly.
Possibly. Yeah.
Well, and that's a really good point, because oftentimes there's a victim blaming with some of these situations, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the things I hear often is, why was that person out there in the first place, kind of thing?
Yeah.
And, you know, they may not have intended to do that. They may have been kind of almost picked up by the lake and placed somewhere else. It happens very easily, and without the proper information being offered to us on the beaches, how are we supposed to help ourselves, right? The information that's there right now is inaccurate. It's not correct. The information on those signs are not correct. So we can't rely on them. So we need to fortify our beaches
To get this message out.
Right? Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, definitely there's work to be done.
Absolutely.
So for yourself, Breyer, what would you say number one?
I think I have kind of two small ones.
Okay.
So the first commonly being like, it won't happen to me, or I'm a strong swimmer. It won't happen to me. So drowning can happen to anyone, whether you're a good swimmer, whether you are a non-swimmer, whether you have been here your entire life, whether you are a newcomer, drowning can happen to anyone. And so I think that's something that like we all need to remember. And then the second one that's really big for me and some of my research is that drowning is not just fatal. So drowning can be both fatal and non-fatal.
Okay.
So
for every fatal drowning, there's about at least five non-fatals.
Yeah, non-fatals.
Okay.
In Canada, we don't have any documentation. Sorry to interrupt you.
No,
we
just
don't have the documentation in Canada to actually prove or provide any real data metric to that at all. But knowing what we know, being lifeguards, I've been a lifeguard for 20 plus years. There were summers when we had 300 people pulled out of the lake, 12 sometimes a day in clusters.
That's crazy.
21, I think, was the most we pulled out in one day, and again, sometimes it's like three or four at a time.
Yeah.
So those were never reported that summer.
And those are important.
Yeah. So when you get back into it a little bit, drowning is technically defined as the process of respiratory impairment.
Okay.
Following a submersion or immersion in some sort of liquid, and can be classified as fatal or non-fatal.
Okay.
And non-fatal drowning, the process of respiratory impairment is stop before death.
Okay.
So for example, if you were to be at home in the bathtub, backyard pool, or even the lake, and you now are in a situation where you're down, your child's gone face down in the bathtub, you've taken on a big wave, and you're coming up and you're involuntarily coughing, having to, like, you're really struggling to get that breath and you're now coughing to try and clear your airway, that counts as a non-fatal drowning.
Okay.
And so many people think a drowning happened and a death is associated, but that is not the case. And so there's been some really great steps taken by the Life Saving Society and the Drowning Prevention Research Center of Canada to try and cover all of the levels. Because right now we're only really seeing any tracking of this data at a hospital level.
Okay.
So for example, as Nate said, for every fatal, there's about 4 or 5 that end up in an emergency department or a hospital.
Okay.
So that doesn't include anybody who's been treated by EMS or ambulance on scene and not transported.
Yeah.
It doesn't count anything treated by a lifeguard.
Okay.
It doesn't count anything that happened at home. So you're missing a ton. Mm-hmm. So if you think of it as a pyramid almost, at the top we see fatal drownings and those are probably the least amount, but they're the biggest burden, right? Mm-hmm. They're some of the most, when we bring search and rescue services, all these things.
Yeah.
Then we move down. We go into, okay, a non-fatal in a hospital, a non-fatal in an emergency department, and a non-fatal at an EMS level, a non-fatal at a pre-EMS level, so maybe a lifeguard, something like that, and then a non-fatal in the community.
Mm-hmm.
So this is our big kind of classification system that we could kind of look at to kind of understand that we're only seeing the top part of this big pyramid.
That's getting the most attention is the very, very tip.
And we're not really thinking about the rest. And so I think that's something important to note, that we can have really serious long-term implications, even if the person actually survived the incident.
Yeah.
Sometimes you're seeing people with neurological deficits, you're seeing people with respiratory problems, and even if it's not a year-long thing, you're still seeing someone who's maybe having trouble breathing a week after or certain different things.
Well, and then the emotional, mental trauma that can come from that, because it must be panic-inducing.
And so it's not, the other thing too is it's not just anytime we have a drowning, it's not just the victim and the victim's family who are feeling that. Your entire community now is reeling for you.
Whoever
your first responders, your people at the hospital, we all are human. We're all feeling this pain. And so I think to your point, when we talk about the full burden of drowning, it's not
so
just the actual loss of a life or a non-fatal drowning that it happened. It's so much bigger. Yeah. There's financial, there's social, there's emotional, physical, there's all these different things that now come into play. And so I think having that at the back of our head is important to remember. And another really big misconception that even we're finding people who are saying, oh, it's a near drowning. It's like, nope, this is a non-fatal or this was like a preventative rescue because there was no respiratory impairment, right? So the respiratory impairment piece is key for it to fall into that classification. So we're not.
So that kind of is what pushes us up or lower, right?
That would either say, yep, that's a non-fatal drowning, or nope, that was a rescue and they didn't actually have a non-fatal drowning in that scenario. They were just struggling and needed help. Right.
Yeah.
So that's kind of it's a hard line to kind of figure out. And people and research are still navigating
on that.
But that's how we kind of break it down.
There.
We are. Yeah. And the work's being done. So
that's
my
biggest.
That would be my biggest thing. And that's kind of where my research is set through school. So I'm passionate about that.
There's lots happening in Elgin County right now. We're really literally making history now with some
that's
of the things
amazing.
That we're doing.
Yeah. And we were featured by the Life Saving Society Ontario in their newsletter, their Lifeliner. So we were actually featured as like one of their communities who was making a really big impact. So that was really cool.
Perfect.
We're talking to local news outlets. It's kind of becoming one of these things that we're being recognized at national levels even the World Health Organization. We've had conversations with some of the top people in the injury prevention department about some of the projects and things we're doing here.
Well, I think as a community and society as a whole, we need to start realizing the importance of prevention.
Absolutely.
In all aspects.
Absolutely.
Mental health and safety and in every area. Prevention is key. If you can get that message out, you prevent getting to the fatal part of it. And that's the point.
Developing the tools that we need in all of these facets, right?
Yeah.
So that when you find yourself in these situations, you can just pull out the tool that you need and use it. Right?
And you don't have to go to post-secondary to develop these tools, right? Like, that's the important
Absolutely.
Thing, right? Everybody can learn this.
I think Nate and I, like, that's the biggest thing. We're both lifeguards, but most of the stuff we know about this is honestly from lived experience, just being and being passionate about it and recognizing that there needs to be a change. And to be completely honest, I'm grateful for the education that I've had to develop some of the skills, maybe to do higher research.
Yeah.
But if you want to be an advocate, all it takes is to say, hey, have you heard about rip currents? Hey, have you heard how to keep your kids safer on water?
Yeah.
And you can make a change right in your own community. And I think that's the best part, is that we all can be change makers, even if it's 100%. A simple conversation, a simple, hey, look at this cool paper I got that explains water safety stuff.
Or if you see something happen at the beach where your red flag is kind of getting raised, you can approach them and you can let them know this could be dangerous for whatever reasons. And at least if you have the tools to tell them why, because sometimes you can't just go up to them and say, oh, you shouldn't do that. It helps to be able to explain how this can become dangerous.
And I think that's where Nate and I stand. And a lot of us, we want to equip people. So for example, as I said, we've worked with MCS in the past. They're now delivering their own presentation themselves. They're going to splash pads and talking about water safety. And that's what we want.
Yes.
That's what we need.
We need that message out there.
And not even through organizations, but through just people.
Yep.
And so that's what both Nate and I think are really trying to aspire to be, where we just have this community of people who just want to talk about it.
Well, and it sounds like you are both doing an amazing job. I thank you both for that. I think I won't take too much more of your time because I know
thank you so much for having us.
But before we finish, though, you mentioned volunteers. How can people reach out if they would like to reach out?
Well, I have a website. Admittedly, it's not very good. I'm working on it still. Everything is just kind of, you know, being built.
Hey, we're working on it. That's right.
Yeah, but ripcurrents.org. So that's ripcurrents.org. And there's opportunities there to connect with me and opportunities to donate and opportunities to, if you're interested in volunteering. I'm also very present on my Facebook page right now, which is Rip Current Information Project or Nate McIntyre on Facebook. I'm trying the Instagram thing and things as well, the outreach, but I'm working on it. I'm trying.
Perfect. Perfect. And for yourself, Brian?
And so for the coalition, we'll share kind of everybody's stuff. So if you can't find Nate through one mechanism, we've probably shared one of his posts too. So you can find him through that. But we exist on Facebook, Instagram, and then we also have a website as well. So Elgin County Drowning Prevention Coalition or ecdrowningprevention.com. Okay. Just like Elgin County EC drowningprevention.com. And so, same thing. Like, we're always looking for volunteers, even people who maybe, if you don't want to donate your time, maybe you have a specific skill. We have so many different needs that can be met in so many different ways. If you have a skill in taking photos, if you have a skill in helping even do some translations, if you want to get involved and do some translations for us to help us reach a greater population.
Ontario's becoming very diverse, right? So all the languages are necessary.
Really. And so I think that's the big thing for us is
maybe we can even talk about bathing suit options.
Yeah.
Materials.
Yeah. Especially for some cultures that might be a big topic.
And so that's something too, that like always, we're always open to collaboration, right? It's like we kind of know from our sense, but then we want to kind of help everybody navigate what works best for them in their culture and what they need. And so I think that's the neat thing is that we may not always have the answer, but we probably know someone who does.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the best thing is we're never shy to looking into something.
And you have to be willing to do that because if you think you have all the answers, you don't.
Yes.
Perfect. Well, thank you very much
to
both.
Thank you so much. It was so lovely to chat, and we really appreciate the opportunity.
Wonderful. Thanks, guys.